Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The officials drop the flag, they call it pass interference, and then somehow word gets to them that it can't be interference because Travis Kelce wasn't the intended receiver. But this is a penalty. This is what we saw. This is illegal contact or holding. They have a conference. They should have said it's not interference, but it's an automatic first down defensive holding. Instead, no flag. Nobody can believe it. We couldn't believe it watching it.
Tony Dungy, and he's 100% correct. That's got to be a penalty. That's a holding penalty. That's something. But we're more interested right now in the video replay on pass interference. And they're caught up in it, and yet it's not changing any of these games. You know why? Because they're not overturning anything. Kevin Seifert, ESPN, no NFL coaches have won challenges for pass interference calls or no calls in week six. So the original call has now been upheld on 24 of their past 25 PI challenges. That's all per their stats info. Not saying it's fair or right, but they're just wasting timeouts and challenges at this point. He's right. They're wasting them because the league doesn't want them overturned. They just want to prevent a game being determined, the outcome of a game, by one of these calls. That's it.
Well, I think Lombardi's got the follow-up, right?
Lombardi, I'm convinced now after watching another day of Al Riveron not making any calls that the entire system was put in place for the playoffs, not the regular season. It's the only plausible explanation. Yeah, for catastrophe. Save for catastrophe. Yeah. That's what it's about.
But the issue is that, you know, here we are week, you know, six. When we start getting into week, you know, 14, 15, they will be catastrophic. Because it could be the difference to your team making the playoffs or not. It could be the difference to your team getting, you know, home field throughout or not, right? So it's not just about when you get to the postseason and, you know, we don't want a team going home on a bad call. You could get a team going home week 14 on a bad call.
Yeah, but are they going to call it differently in the first quarter versus the fourth quarter? So you're right, in the fourth quarter, they might look at it and say, oh, my God, this team lose, they're out of the playoffs today. But did they do the same thing in the first quarter?
Well,
we don't know what's
going
on.
This rule, it's almost like they should call it Saints Rams Doomsday Device.
It is. That's what it is.
In case of an emergency, case of the unthinkable, which is what happened with the Rams. Yeah, we have to be able to basically go back in time. And we don't really intend to use it on a regular basis during the regular season, but in an NFC Championship game where the actual call completely derailed the Saints from their ability to win, regardless of what happened at the end, because they did have another opportunity. But at that point in time, it was a difference maker.
Yeah, I want to say the only one that's been overturned, and maybe I'm wrong, we could try to find out, was I thought there was, because it was just a blatant offensive pass interference. It was like a pick 5 yards downfield.
Yeah, it was. San Francisco game, 49ers,
yeah, you know, because even this one yesterday, I talked about Kelce when they threw it, because I thought it was a pick play. That was, you could argue that maybe it was a couple yards downfield, you know, rather than whatever, but it wasn't blatant. I think there was one that they overturned because it was like 5 yards, 6 yards downfield. He just took him out in the middle of the field.
So what Tony Dungy is talking about, so there's a pass interference called, but it's called on Travis Kelce, even though the ball was thrown way over his head to, I don't even know who the receiver
into
was,
the end zone.
And it was intercepted by Houston. So what Tony says, and we had this conversation before the show even started, so they pick up the pass interference call, and they can actually instead call holding on, I forgot who the defender was. But no, but can they? Is that actual possible?
What happened was they called pass interference on this play, and if you're Billy O'Brien, you sit and say, you call pass interference on Kelce in the middle of the field. The throw went to the end zone. So there's no pass interference. Now, if you had called holding, you'd have an argument. But there can't be pass interference. So if that's your call, you have to pick it up. Which is exactly what they ended up doing, right?
Okay, yeah, because what it looks like, and this is what I think Mike Florio was talking about,
instead,
is that somebody got in the ref's ear and said, whoa, 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 okay, there is a foul, but it's not pass interference.
Well, right.
It's holding. Yeah. Okay, so pick it up.
So
no pass interference.
So could they overturn that and say, instead, it's a holding penalty? I'm not sure they
can. Well,
what
happened was is that they made this call, and then that's what Florio talked about in his article. Something fishy happened in this game. When the referees got together, one referee is seen kind of holding his fingers, hands to his ears, where his earpiece is, like he's listening, because he's looking up, and he's listening, and then they come out and they pick it up and say there's no foul. You know, but it was never challenged. The refs just got together and made this call on their own. So it is, that's not supposed to happen. And apparently it did.
No, but they can overrule the call.
They should have said it was
they
holding.
They can overrule it. They can sit there and they huddle up and say, you know, they pick up the flag all the time.
Can they do that, though?
They pick up the flag all the time.
They say there's no penalty on the play.
But in this case, it was a holding penalty. So can they go from a pass interference, which was the original call, to now suddenly saying, no, it's a holding penalty?
You know why I think they do that? Since they did get information, I feel like it was one of those things where, listen, okay, we can make this if we don't at least say it wasn't pass interference, we can make this worse, because they basically used the wrong language. Yeah. So you just have to pick it up, and you can't say my bad. Now call it holding.
Right.
You can't go back and retroactively.
I don't think they can do that.
Why couldn't you come back and just sit there and say, you know what, he didn't let go of the ball yet.
Oh, why can't you say, my bad, I meant to say holding, not pass interference.
Yeah, after looking at it, we threw the flag, we called it interference, but you know. We got together, and he hadn't released the ball yet, so it's just defensive holding, 5 yards, first down. Instead, they gave the interception, and that changed that ball game. You know, they were in field goal range. It was 17-9 at the time, Kansas City. So rather than first and 10, still driving possibly 24-9 game or 20-9 game, you know, Houston went right down the field and made it 17-16, and that's what Dungy's talking about. It changed the whole game.
And did you guys also, when you looked at the bunch of the games that were going on, all the issues – with kickers.
Oh, my God.
Atlanta.
Yeah. It is
Houston,
extra points. Yeah. They're all
it
having
is,
trouble.
And you're sitting there going, wow. You thought that the Patriots are in a bad position, but there's a bunch of other teams
it's bad.
That are just as bad.
In the league right now, it's bad.
See, that's where I go back to Gostkowski. Everybody's talking about it. And I remember saying I wasn't concerned because I felt like, now we didn't know there was an injury, but it was only on extra points. And I felt like that was kind of like a mental thing. And I thought you could fix that. And because the issue wasn't field goals. If you remember, he was like 7 for 8 and he missed a 48-yarder. So it was not an issue until they start turning down field goals and going for it, which is exactly what we saw the New England Patriots do on Thursday night, turning down 3 of them while going for it, you know, and it just, well, actually 2 of them because he missed 1 of them. That's where you get burned. And that's where he was still kicking field goals. He was missing extra points. A lot of guys are around the league, though.
All right, there's a bunch of stuff we can throw out here from yesterday's games because it was a weekend without the Patriots. If you watched any of the Panthers and the Buccaneers playing overseas, 2 conclusions. 1, the Panthers are better without Cam Newton, okay? They got McCaffrey. He's your answer. He's your offense. And the Buccaneers, by the way, this is it for Jameis Winston. Where's he playing next year? He's playing somewhere else, right?
He's playing somewhere else. And the poor San Diego Superchargers. I'm calling them that because they need to move back.
Well, they're playing in a tiny little ballpark in a soccer field in L.A.
Things that just...
What an embarrassing game. Third-string quarterback. They just beat you up. Third-string quarterback. You're at home. I don't care if you're home or not. I know Steelers fans took that place over. But that was just an embarrassing game for them. I know they're dealing with their own injuries, but Pittsburgh goes in your house and beats you up the way they did. You play that way?
That was pathetic. Think about it. You roll out of the locker room, and it's not the Patriots. It's the Steelers going to L.A., right? And so maybe there are a lot
distance.
Of fans. So fine. Right. But even when you have a home game, it feels like an away game. The whole, I'm just call it the north side, was completely Pittsburgh Steelers fans, accompanied by the terrible towel.
Okay, so they have injuries. We know that. They have a situation with their running back. We know that. But the other thing, I'm with Christian on this one. If you're a member of that team, and I know what they did last year, and nobody supported them. So you go as far as you could last year, go to New England, get beat up by New England in that playoff game, and nobody's coming to your games this year. You have no fan base. They should go back to San Diego. They're not. They're playing in a little place where you think you should be able to sell out. But the San Diego fans had turned on that franchise because they moved and they said, screw you, I'm not supporting the team. Here's what's even worse. They're not selling personal seat licenses for the new stadium in L.A. The Rams are. The Chargers are not. Nobody's going to go to their games, and they're going to be playing in a big old stadium where they're going to have empty seats galore. They got problems.
They're the Clippers of the NFL.
That's what they
in
are.
That city. They're the Clippers, they and the Rams are the
a
Lakers.
A once proud franchise.
Man, unbelievable! And so to the point where somehow whoever was in charge of music was playing the Pittsburgh Steelers whatever fight song, whatever that renegade song that they play, and playing it during the game.
See, that would piss you off.
How does that happen?
That should piss you off. But
whoever's
I've been listening, he needs to be fired. I know you guys are saying
you
don't get much support, but
that's true. You got to cater to the customers, right?
Are we saying that that's the reason why they go out and play football the way they did last night at home?
No,
you walk out there, oh my God, they're not supporting us. Oh, really? I mean, you're supposed to be one of the few who say, can we call it like, I don't know, average to above average football teams in this league, because you either suck or you're really good or you're just good, whatever. I don't even know if
they are
really
average,
good.
But they're not
But
good.
You're an average football team at home against a third-string quarterback, and you got run out? Just a couple garbage-time touchdowns to make it look interesting?
But you don't think that's part of it, that these players, all week long, that nobody cares where they're playing? Nobody cares about
the
franchise.
I don't think guys are showing up at practice, putting a game plan in, going, why do we even bother? Fans aren't coming out to support us. Why should we bother playing? That's a lame-ass excuse if that's what you're telling me is going on.
I think that's part of it. I think it's collective. There's a bunch of stuff going on, and we just talked about the injuries. But I would say that's part of it. You show up, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. You can't tell me that doesn't play into it. I got to believe. Matter of fact, by the way, how about the Rams? How about the Rams in L.A., and how many 49er fans showed up for that game? There were
a lot.
Oh,
that's a short drive.
It's a lot of 49er fans at that game. So as much as, and Mike Giardi, if you're listening, shut your radio off right now. As much as people are going to jump on the Jimmy Garoppolo the bandwagon, really, why the 49ers are so good right now? Defense. It's all defense.
They got a great defense.
It's defense. They just get all over you. So this Rams team is supposed to be, they were in the Super Bowl last year, supposed to be one of the better offensive teams in the league. They were 0-for in third down completions yesterday. 0-for.
They haven't recovered since the Super Bowl, just like the Atlanta Falcons.
Psychologically damaged by the New England Patriots.
And Sean McVay, wow, everybody wants Sean McVay. Young, good-looking, smart, energetic, relates to the players.
Creative offense.
Oh, so creative.
Goff looks really good.
Suddenly he looks too young. Doesn't he look too young now? Now he looks too young.
How quickly his persona has changed since last year. He's like the next best thing ever in the NFL, and now he's not smart anymore.
Be you, man.
Talk about not smart anymore. What about Mike Vrabel? His team can't score anymore. He benched his quarterback in the middle of the game. Yeah, his quarterback sucked. He sucked.
It was awful.
Yeah. So the Titans can't score. Their defense is pretty good, but they can't score. They're 2-4 out of the gate. That was the team people thought were going to take the next step, right? And the Broncos are, defensively good, but they're not.
Well, so is Brady not going to Tennessee anymore to go play with
Mike? I don't think he's going to Tennessee anymore.
So you think he'll stay now?
Yes. I think it's off the table.
Kind of reassess the situation.
I still don't think you know who the contenders are in the AFC yet. That's all. I'm not going to sit here week six and say, start worrying about Houston. Don't have to worry about Kansas City. Don't worry about Baltimore. I don't think you know yet who's a team you should be worried about.
Well, Lou, you don't know because other than New England, nobody has really stepped up. I still think Buffalo's playing over their head right now, mainly because the quarterback's not good enough to be, a playoff team. We shall see. Defensively, they're real good. But who's played? Kansas City hasn't. Who's played to that level where you're sitting there saying, okay, that's a threat for the Patriots? I would say you get the Patriots way up here, and even though they've got flaws on the offensive side of the ball, you got everybody else down here.
I know.
You got nobody up there.
I would agree, but I'm not someone saying is I don't know if it's – I still worry about Kansas City, Baltimore.
Sure.
And I don't – like that. We thought that AFC South was going to be a very good division. It was like Tennessee we thought would be good with Vrabel. We thought, Indianapolis has been playing really good without Luck. And then we said, Jacksonville, they had Foles. Now they got Minshew. And Houston, I guess, is a team maybe a concern with. But don't know, I wouldn't be shocked if they lay an egg next week. We really worried about Houston? I don't think you know yet.
Here's my problem with Houston. We see this happen every year with Houston. Then they get a couple of injuries. They don't have the depth. And what happens? Teams go in there and just exploit
them. So if that's the case, if you're going to jump all over the Houston Texans, well, then you should really jump all over the Jets, because Sam Darnold, a.k.a. Kissy Boy, is back, and they look different.
Yes, and I think they may offer a challenge. Yeah. With the Patriots playing out there in New Jersey, they may offer them a challenge, because defensively they're middle of the pack. Okay, they can cause some problems for you. And the quarterback makes a world of difference. And, oh, yeah, they do have a terrific running back. So they can run, and now they can throw the ball a little bit. Yeah,
finally, maybe
they
were challenged. Finally.
Okay, finally, a game in which the Patriots should not be favored by 17.5 points.
10.
10, right? 11.
10, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, still that's 10. That's
looking at. All right, we'll get into the Jets a little bit later on. Bill Belichick is going to join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Taco Mania has apparently taken over, and it's a big, huge deal in Celtics land. We'll hit a little Celtics coming up in our next segment right here on OMF. It is Patriots Money. We're live in Foxborough.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is that why the Patriots sort of reached out to you once upon a time? Because yes. You had that fan aspect?
Yes, because I was still a fan, but could do things in a semi-professional capacity every now and again. And thankfully, they didn't check the deep history of my Twitter, because maybe they would have reconsidered things. But
so are you listening, Wick Grosbeck, Steve Pagliuca? Are you listening to the Celtics? Celtics, listen, okay? That's the opportunity that I am looking for. I want to host a fan rally before the playoffs, or at least have a shot to, if Greg Dickerson could do the PA for years, I should at least get my shot to do the PA. Some night when Eddie Palladino's sick, call Gilroy in off the bench. I don't mind playing backup, and I want to do PA work.
Loser.
Hey, that's Fanboy Radio. You can hear it every weekend right here on WEEI. We're Fanboy Radio. You got Fitzy and Gilroy.
How did you get that gig?
It's a lifelong dream.
Do I have to be bigger?
Lou, you haven't
already. Gilroy's got to be a bigger fanboy than he already is?
Yeah, try to
host
the fanboy.
Fan rally.
So the team can call him and be a... yeah, let's get us all going. It's Patrick Gilroy. Jeez.
Bring your pom-poms, Gilroy.
So, Celtics, listen, okay?
Oh, God. So I'm excited for basketball to start officially. But at the same time, I don't know how much Gilroy I can do during the week. Like, the guy, it doesn't matter what the situation is. There's always a bright side.
See, the fanboys like those two, Fitzy and Gilroy, get all pissed off and when we say anything that they deem as being slightly negative
about their even though it's not, as long as they're on the team, though, I've come to understand.
Yes, when you're not on the team, it makes no difference. So I actually listened to a little bit of it, and Gilroy actually made the point. Fitzy brought it up first. He goes, "Why does Ordway hate Enes Kanter so much? I don't hate Enes Kanter. Matter of fact, I like Enes Kanter's strong position in his homeland with his family back there in harm's way." So this is what he said.
Ordway, you would literally think, God love you, Big O, but you would literally think either Enes Kanter stole something from Big O, or that like Enes Kanter like cheated on Glenn's daughter or something, because he can't stand the man, says he's the worst defensive player in basketball. and that he's going to be a liability.
Ordway loves to play the role of the most intelligent basketball mind in the room. And Enes Kanter is going to make that very difficult for him, because at the end of the year, Enes Kanter is going to average 14 points and 8 rebounds a game, which is going to be identical to what Al Horford puts up. The difference is Kanter got a $5 million contract. Horford got his second $100 million deal with Philadelphia now. Now, Horford does all the little things, that Glenn's going to want to tell you about, because it proves just how brilliant he is in his basketball mind. While Kanter is going to go out there and do the gritty work, going to put up identical numbers at the same position for a fraction of the money. Horford's a better basketball player, and Kanter makes Ordway seem like a very pedestrian basketball mind.
Wow.
Let me just say this.
Horford was a better player. I was wondering now that Cantor's on the Celtics, that he's going to do
same
everything
production.
Al Horford.
You're going to get the same production. You think
I heard little
production?
Things, too. I thought that was only for Al. Yeah.
So I would say this. If Wick is listening, please, you want Gilroy to host the fan rally.
Please give it to him.
Because you're bringing in a guy that's going to make $4.7 million to play center instead of Al Horford, and he's buying it.
That's the opportunity that I am looking for.
He's buying. The reason I say, and I have nothing against Enes Kanter, matter of fact, again, I repeat, I applaud him. I respect him for taking a strong stand
Who cares about his views on Turkey?
Now let's talk about, first off,
if he was from Hong Kong, you think he'd be having the same views?
No, he would not. The league would say you can't. But let me do this.
You can't speak publicly about it.
Let's look at him as a basketball player.
Yeah, let's do that.
He's the worst, and I didn't say the worst player, Fitzy, okay? He's the worst defensive center in the NBA, and I stand by it. And you can watch him play. I don't think either one of you have actually watched Kanter play. He's the worst.
Enes Kanter.
He is the worst.
He'll score. Okay, so he'll get his rebounds. But you're right. Defensively, he's a mess. He always has. He's been everywhere. I mean, statistically, he is. He's statistically one of the worst defensive centers in the game. I don't.
Oklahoma City players were.
If he's not the worst, he's right there.
They laugh at him defensively. He doesn't even try defensively. Why do you think Daniel Theis at 6'8"? Is probably going to be your starting center, and they're going to bring Kanter off the bench.
Because they're trying to find the right spots to be able to bring him in, not get exposed.
What does that say about all the people who are backing and trumpeting Al Horford and the little things, and don't look at the points, and don't look at that, he's better. They have just completely thrown that out the window.
That's the biggest problem I have with Celtic fans. And I love the NBA. I love watching the Celtics. I'm into it. But once the player goes to another team, they are toast. And if Al does anything and they're going to face him the first night of the season against them, you watch. They will turn on him and they'll find all holes in his game or whatever.
They'll build their guy up.
Now all of a sudden the butts will come out. I mean, Al did all the great things, but.
But the little things.
But, you know, he did all the little things, but. You know, now all of a sudden the butts will come out.
Now the little things will disappear because you just heard.
I'm going to actually start defending Al Horford.
You just heard
how good of a defender he was. Because everyone, now that he's gone, is going to just spin it like this guy Kanter is going to just take over that role. Where that's a big loss, losing Al Horford.
Average Al for $30 million.
I've never seen a guy make a max deal in this town and get so much praise for doing just the little things. I always thought in this town we wanted guys making $30 million. To do more than just the little things.
He was overrated.
Yes.
But do you believe that Gilroy is on to anything when he says you're going to get the same production out of Kanter that you're going to get?
How was that even possible?
What happened to all the little things that they told us?
Here's the thing. He's right, but do I have to accuse Gilroy of just looking at the box score? I mean, if you just look at the box score, Kanter will score and get his rebounds. He always has. But I'm pretty sure, Patrick, you always told me, don't just look at the box score.
You're looking at the box score.
There's going to be other things that Kanter can't do that are going to make him a liability.
But now he wants you to just look at the box
score. Now it's just about the box score.
Because Kanter's
wearing. Look at the production he's given.
The green and white.
Well, because you picked on Kanter, and they need to defend him. That's what it is.
Unbelievable.
Kanter can't cover himself.
Yeah, he can't defend.
Okay.
Can I get to the next one?
Sure.
This Taco Fall kid, 7'5".
Love him.
He seems like a wonderful kid. And everybody there says he's a wonderful kid. He's terrific. He works hard. Does anybody understand what the Celtics just did? They have 15 players. They actually have 16 that are vying for a 15-man roster. And of those 15, three of them aren't going to play. Two of them are not going to play or even be dressed. He is number 17. That's what he is. So what they just did is they signed him to a two-way contract. Why? Because two things, I believe. One, if you've watched any of these games, and even the road game in Orlando, and I know Taco Fall played college ball down there, but certainly at the TD Garden, poor Brad Stevens has got to hear the fans in the stands in the second quarter and really loud in the third quarter chanting for Taco.
And the Taco's going wacko.
Okay, so it's a preseason game. I get it. I understand it. But he also realizes they're going to do the exact same thing when we get to the regular season. It is a real distraction because Taco,
come on.
It is a major distraction.
Hold on. The only time they're going to do it is when they're up or if they're getting their ass beat.
Christian,
and that's
doing
usually
second,
when a guy like second, that would play. I know, but it's a preseason, Glenn.
Okay, but I don't think the coach wants any of the pressure. The kid is limited.
Well, hold on. You don't think Brad Stevens wants what pressure?
He can't help him win. He can't help him do anything.
But
right
do
now.
You think Brad Stevens is going to be pressured by the fans? I just want to make sure I'm
hearing
this right.
He's not being pressured by the fans. He just doesn't want to hear it. Notice what he's doing. He's bringing him in as the last player in the game. I think with 6 minutes left and 3 minutes,
I don't think that's going to make a difference. I mean, I don't think Stevens wants it. He's going to sit there and say, oh, no, we don't want this distraction. First off, he went to school down there, right? You know, Lay's from Florida. He went to school down there. So there's going to be, put this guy, let's go. We came to this preseason game, but we want to watch Taco play. But I don't think Brad Stevens is going to sit there and say, Danny, listen, you know, I'm getting tired of hearing this fan base or home fan base asking me to put Taco Fall in.
That's not what I'm saying.
I don't want to keep him.
You're taking it out of context, what I'm saying. He's a guy that can't really help the team right now. So you don't want him on the team. You're not going to put him on the team just to be the victory cigar late in the game. You're not going to do that.
No, now, you gave him a two-way deal, some team might have thought that maybe they would have used him, and they could have taken him.
I don't think anybody's going to take him.
Two-way for a reason.
Right. You know where the reason is? So they can sell out Maine every night. Who owns the Maine Red Claws? Boston Celtics.
And there's a blocko by
Taco. They own him. They own him. Well, they're going to fill the building every night.
Even if they didn't, that's where he belongs.
Yeah.
He's got enough assets where it's worth just kind of, let's just see what this would
maybe
look like.
Maybe he can learn the game. Maybe he can.
Maybe gets an outside shot. Maybe he can shoot free throws. Who knows?
Right. He's got to pick up other skills. He can't do any of that.
I know he can't do
any of it now.
So, I feel like what's the difference between him and Scalabrine?
Well, he's not.
Scalabrine's
a much better player.
Yeah, but he never played. He never played until the end. Yeah, and when he came in, it was like a carnival act.
Yeah, but I'm watching these games, and I'm looking at Struss, and I'm seeing what Max Struss has been able to do. The other kid, Green,
Javonte Green,
who at least has got some skills, played overseas. Those guys are much better suited to be on an NBA
roster.
They're
not like 10 feet tall.
They can help. They're not 10 feet tall. And the reason everybody wants Taco Fall, unfortunately, is he's a sideshow, and that's an unfortunate thing because maybe you're right. Maybe if you send him to the minor leagues, maybe he can learn. Maybe he can pick some of this stuff up. All right, we get to the phone calls coming up next at 617-779-7937. Bill will join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
You lost Al Horford and you lost Aaron Baines. Horford, as much as some people like to call him Average Al, as much as his numbers were not eye-popping, he was a very valuable player. He stretched the floor offensively, and he was able to defend centers and forwards defensively. The Celtics have to be at least resistant defensively. Enes Kanter is not known for his defense. He'll try his best, but the Celtics have to be better defensively in the paint. The Celtics are going to have to take a step forward defensively this season.
Gary Washburn of the Globe, he must hate Kanter as well. I can't believe what he just said.
What did you say, Bunny? That's so unfair.
You should be collecting royalties again. There's another guy bringing up Average Al.
Yeah, I know, whatever. I mean, they all know I'm right.
As much as some people like to call him Average Al.
They all know I'm right. Again, name me another $30 million athlete in this town that does the little things and we love him.
The little things.
Hold on.
Well, they don't.
Wait, $30 million?
Yeah.
There's only like you have to go to the Red Sox to find another $30 million, right? Or it would
highest
be
paid player in the team.
Well, I mean,
let me tell you, in the Bruins, you could sit there and say, I don't know, the money Krejci's getting. I mean, come on, you need more. I mean, he's getting paid more.
It's good last year, Krejci.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it's mind-boggling. And this year, you know, whatever. They're already Gilroy's saying that Cantor can do, you know, whatever. He'll fill the box score. I never looked at the box score. I know a lot of people want to
look
at the box
score. Only if it benefits your point of view.
Oh, obviously. Yeah,
well, so then you switch. Then you switch it, and then you hammer it home like well it's said. Your job.
So we're going to go from one extreme to the other, where they were raving about all the little things, even though Al Horford was overpaid, to what's going to happen this year. And I think Washburn is right on. I know he's a Cantor hater. I think the biggest problem they have is not only the loss of Horford, but the loss of Baines as well defensively.
Yes.
This team defensively, their interior defense is going to suck.
Yeah.
Suck. And they have good defensive players out in the perimeter. Certainly Marcus Smart. Certainly Jaylen Brown. Other guys can play okay defensively. But their interior defense, teams are going to take the ball to the hole and will against
them. Philly?
Good luck.
Well, you have Al Horford. He's doing the little things, and he's controlling the inside. He's the rim protector. That you need Taco.
They got to play Aaron Baines more.
What are you going to play Philadelphia? Like, who covers either one of those guys?
I think it's a problem. I don't see how people can't see it as a major problem.
So they're going to go from because they were a pretty good defensive team.
They were.
And so but they've gradually.
Not as much last year.
My point is they're gradually going to just, we just got to score as many points as we can.
It's going to be, yeah, we can try to score more.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do. Take it to the rim because they got a lot of offensive firepower, especially with Kemba Walker. And defensively, you're just going to say, can you just hold the line as much as possible? I mean, that's really what you're going to try and do.
Yeah, but they've got players that have totally different skill set. For an example, they like to drive to the hole to kick it back out, even to big guys. You saw it with Baines last year. Baines became a three-point threat last year because it fit into the offense of what Horford was doing. Now you've got Cantor. I mean, Tice can do it a little bit, but let's not get carried away. You've got Cantor coming off the bench. Cantor does two things. He can score inside, close to the basket, about 8 inches away.
And because he's always around the rim, he can rebound.
And he can rebound.
But, I mean, can you imagine, let's just say there was like a 5, 6, 7, 8 game stretch where Baines was hurt and Horford was hurt last year. What it would look like. The Celtics fans would be like, oh, you can't defend. I mean, you know, you no Horford, no Baines. You can't ask these other guys to defend. Well, you're going to because what you've added is Cantor. And we all know he can't defend. That's the way it's going to look for every single game.
I think teams.
Yeah, but you're not getting your hopes up with this team, are you? I mean, this is no, you're this, going no, back to I, just enjoying this is, yeah, this basketball. Is, this is, make, this make is me, 3 years ago,
but, right? But, and scoring points yes. and up, you know, up tempo, and you know, you'll just like it. You'll just enjoy watching the team again.
No, that's what
you're
looking
for. You can say that
it's
all
amazing.
You want, but
it's the only team in town.
But unless you win. People, it's not exciting. Are you telling me that if this team goes out and they only win 42 games, 41 games, and they're a 500 team this year, as much as Kyrie is gone and people hated him, that and they keep on saying it's a more likable team, it won't be a likable team if they win 41 or 42. And I'm telling you, with a major injury to one of their key players, they're a 500 team at best next year.
Celtics fans would love that, right?
And you tell me they're going to like that team? I don't buy it.
No, I think, yeah, I do.
I don't buy it.
I think they're, wait, don't you remember when Brad Stevens first came? It was like, it's going to be the same thing. They're just hoping for the future again. That is what they're, that's what you have. There's no anger. There's never any anger because you can look at the rest of the NBA and you're not going to get your hopes up. You kind of know the, you know, what
well,
you're
West,
dealing with here.
It's the only team in this town that can get away with it.
Yeah, they are.
The Celtics.
They
and
are.
It is. It's just, I want to enjoy watching them play. I want them to entertain me. I have no expectations, but I will stay engaged. I will continue to follow. That's
yeah.
And it's the only team in town that can do that. You have championship caliber rosters and on different teams, and if they're not going to win a cup or win a World Series or a Super Bowl, you don't want to invest. The Celtics? Hey, just go out there and give me an effort.
Go Celtics!
You know, it's just a fan base, and it's just a different. You think it's like a different town.
So if
you
they
think
were,
the Celtics are from
yeah.
St. Louis
yeah.
and every other team is from Boston.
So if they were in the West, it'd probably be a 7th or 8th seed as best. In the East, I think Philly's better than them. Milwaukee's better than them. But they're in that next grouping.
Yeah.
With Indiana, with Orlando. Maybe Miami jumps into it. Brooklyn's probably in that group.
I think Indiana's
so you got like four teams that are in that group that are going to go 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, but you know what
they could be from 3, they could be all the way down to 6.
But you know what they have this year? Camaraderie, fellowship,
please.
Brotherhood.
Please. How about that?
Everybody's on the same page. Please. Yeah, that's because that is what they're going for. They're going for fellowship, camaraderie, togetherness.
Well, they're blowing out teams in the preseason.
That's exactly what they're going for.
By 40.
And by the way, how about that report last week? You know, Al, obviously Al isn't just typical Al Horford. You know, wants everyone to love him everywhere he goes, and they do. But talking about how, you know, if he knew Kemba was coming back, he might have thought of staying. And everybody just running with it, including your boy Gilroy, Candy
happen.
Boy, and everyone's like, oh my God, Danny dropped the ball. Danny dropped the ball. He could have Kemba and Al. And luckily, Chris Forsberg finally wrote an article, you know, saying that no, because you people are forgetting the timeline. The only reason why you could afford Kemba is because Al left and freed up the money. You couldn't, we've been over this a million times, and it's like they just forget because they're just so happy. That, you know, they thought that if Kyrie just left, you replace him with Kemba, and financially you could do it. You couldn't have done it. It would have been some stupid three-way deal in which the Nets were never going to sign and trade for Kyrie. Why would they give up picks or whatever to get a guy they know they're going to get? It never would have happened.
But Lou,
people who cover the team are just so happy that they would, oh, that would have been so much fun.
But if you don't, but if you don't believe that, how can you host the Celtic fan rally? You can't.
Because he's on the team side.
Or I want to host a fan rally.
Although he was ripping Danny,
and yeah, well, I guess they'll rip Danny. Danny's okay, even though Danny's done a pretty damn good job.
Celtics, but, listen, okay,
listen, put him in a favor. But you're right. The whole idea, and people didn't even realize what the hell Al Horford was doing. Al Horford wants to be the nice guy, so he's answering the question so he doesn't piss off any people back here in Boston.
The minute Al Horford, you knew you were losing him, that freed up money,
right?
And then you got involved in the Kemba. If Al stayed, you weren't freeing up the money to go get Kemba.
Right.
So it never would have happened.
But Al's playing the game because he does.
And everybody just kept talking about it.
Like oh, guys.
Boy, they dropped the ball.
But you're right, they do make stuff up. It's like fantasy land with some of these things. And Forsberg did a good job of breaking down the timeline and basically said, people, this couldn't happen.
No.
It wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. Brian is in New London. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, hey guys. Hey, listen, Glenn, I have to disagree with you. The reason why some people go to these games is to be entertained, and Taco Fall is an entertaining person there. I mean,
what if he can't play?
Exciting.
Kind of like the three-headed monkey at the fair, right?
Well, no, I wouldn't call him a freak show.
You're going to see the really tall guy.
It's kind of, right. No, it's kind of cruel. It is kind of cruel, Christian, and you're right. And yet, I think that the people that want to see him at the end of the game, that's part of the deal. You've never seen anybody before who can stand before the rim, not leave his feet, and slam dunk. So you're seeing something you just don't see. But if you're the Celtics, Javonte Green and Max Strus off the bench as your final player on this team, on the roster, final player, not first team, not second team, final player, give you more of a chance to win than Taco Fall does, don't they, Brian?
Celtic fans are unbelievable.
You don't care about winning, Brian.
No, you just want to be entertained.
No, I do care. When you're hauling your family, you got two young kids or something, you're going to haul them off to a ball game, and they're chanting Taco Fall in the car. I mean, you want to see Taco.
I'm telling you, Christian, you're crazy. Brad Stevens wants nothing to do with this.
Yeah, but
nothing to do with this.
So if it's just, I don't understand. If he wouldn't be the first guy that was a fan favorite that people yelled for.
You haven't been watching these preseason games.
They are doing it in the second quarter. For the record, I'm not watching every preseason game from beginning to end. I don't know how much time you have in your life, but I'm not doing it. But the hysteria.
Are you putting down watching
very,
Celtics basketball?
The hysteria is pretty obvious, the amount of intrigue and excitement that comes with this guy. He's a nice guy. But I don't think Brad Stevens is going to make a roster decision based on whether or not he wants to deal with people chanting some kid's name on the bench.
Again, you're missing the point. These fans, and you just heard it from this guy, and you'll hear it from a lot more, they want him to be on the roster so that they can chant and have him come in garbage time at the end of games. They want him to be the Geno. But really in the game, not on the jumbo.
So you think people felt the same way about Scalabrine?
That's what they...
Scalabrine
could play. You're wrong.
Okay,
he
but when did he play?
when at the end of games.
Okay, thank you. So that's irrelevant whether or not he could play or not.
But
he wasn't good enough to be a real impact player. He came in at the end. Everyone screamed and yelled. There's the White Mamba. So what's the difference?
Because he brings far more to the table than this guy. He could actually
Neither one of them contributed to the team.
Right. Well, no, Scalabrine did.
You just said he came in at the end.
But he came in. At the end, when the game was over. But he was a player. He was much better than this kid. This kid's not a player.
I know, but
you already said it. He's a sideshow.
I know, but you're, but it's, to me, whether or not Scal could play or not is irrelevant. I put them both in the same bucket based on your analysis.
If you're Brad Stevens, you want guys at the end of the bench who can actually help you in certain situations. Struss can come in when you need threes, okay? He can come in specifically.
Taco can protect the rim. Put your hands up. Spot the ball away.
That was your Celtic fan. You know, so you don't care about winning. You just want to be entertained. Oh, no, I care about winning. No, you don't. No, I mean, it'd be nice if they won, but I would rather just see Taco fall and be entertained when I bring my kid to a game. And that's the thing. That's what they have. If you try hard, you know, if you give max effort, it is. It's like all of a sudden the Boston Celtics turned into the San Diego Celtics. Because I lived it, you know, playing with the Padres. We lost every night. But, you know, I love going to the games because I watch you guys, and you play really hard. And I got to watch Barry Bonds hit, like, four home runs against you. That was the greatest thing ever. The Boston Celtics fan base don't belong in Boston. They belong in St. Louis or San Diego. They don't care.
My biggest problem is I want the team to win. I think winning is what generates a positive feeling
normally
about the team. And people apparently want a sideshow. Instead of legitimate players who might be able to help you out a little bit at the end of the bench. Here's Andre down in the Cape. Andre.
Oh, yeah, thanks for taking my call. The Celtics are going to do plenty of winning this year. You can put them down for a fourth or fifth seed in the East because this team is legit. And I'm going to tell you
fourth or fifth seed? Whoa! You're happy with fourth or fifth seed?
Boy, you're excited about that fifth seed, huh?
Yeah.
All the way to the fifth seed. They're not going to be two or three, but you fifth seed, they're going to win a ton. Go ahead.
Well, you got the 76ers, then you have the Milwaukee, and outside of that, it's wide open. And by the way, let's remember, the Milwaukee Bucks had the best record in the league last year. They won the first two games, and they got smacked in four games by Toronto. So Milwaukee's not for real. There's one team in the East that's for real, and that's Philly. Yes, average Al can take that Philadelphia 76ers team to an NBA final and win.
I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. If you're underestimating Milwaukee with the best player in the league, and that league usually, your best player in the league is usually the team that's damn good. You're missing the point.
Sure. They got the best player in the league who can't shoot threes, and they lost Malcolm Brogdon. Okay? And again, last year with the best player in the league and home court advantage, they got smacked four games straight.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So there's no Kawhi, but back to my original point. The Celtics team is for real. Hayward's going to have a bounce back year. Tatum can be an all-star.
Fourth or fifth.
Jaylen Brown is going to be competing
for an
all-star.
This is unbelievable.
Andre, if you think they're for real, then tell us they're going to be the three seed
behind those two teams. Oh, the two seed. They're better than Milwaukee. They're going to be the two seed.
You keep saying they're for real, and you're admitting they're going to be the fifth seed.
Because you have Indiana in the mix this month.
Is Indiana more for real than the Celtics?
Yes, with Oladipo. When Oladipo comes back.
Oh, not that for real, then. They're not really for real at all, then. If you think that, okay, they're not really for real.
This is a great day for Celtics basketball.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Celtics fans, like, you know, if you're the fourth or fifth seed, you think it's a success. And they're happy with it. He thinks the team's going to be for real. He thinks they're going to win, like, 45 games and be the fifth seed. And it's going to be a blast. They're going to not have home court in the first round. This team is legit. They're going to get bounced in the first round. I can't wait to watch them because they are legit. What are you talking about?
So all I heard last year
is they're legit. Tell me they're the two seed.
Addition by subtraction.
The Eastern Conference Finals.
They're going to be a better team. And then we have a Celtic fan calling up saying, a fourth or fifth seed, they're legit. Fourth or fifth? We're going down? And that's better? I'm sorry. I'm missing something. Maybe if that's the case, then you put Taco on the team. And you play him. I don't care. Play him in the third quarter. You call that garbage time. All right, 617-779-7937. Our phone number.
Boston Celtics.
Oh, here at OAMF, we got the coach, Bill Belichick, in the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.